Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Minister Toby. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you. Let's all stand up on our feet. We do have notes, and again, if you haven't gotten those, raise a hand and one of our ushers will bring that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, New International Version on the screen as well. Are you ready? I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained, says the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1b. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I want you to say that. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, you do not know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should boast, if I should choose to boast, I would be a fool, but I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Say verse 9 with me. Ready? Say, go. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships. What? Oh, sorry. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done already, what you'll do in the moments that remain tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let the gifts be in operation and then may lives be forever changed. And may we be able to say, even as the Apostle Paul said, that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Release to us wisdom, instruction from the throne, that we might never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I recently heard someone say, I can't do this. They had come to the end of their rope, the end of the line. They come to the place where they just can't go on, not one more moment. And I've heard that before, many times. And I think earlier on in my walk, I said things like that. I certainly have felt that way. I can't go on. I remember as being an intern in my 30s. I remember 45 hours of church services and meetings, and then responsible for what was called the Upcountry District, which was about 1,700 people, and visiting them, and then creating life groups over, was also over the young adults, I think, at the same time, and as well as Paia on Friday nights, and then preached my own extension on Sunday mornings. On Monday, I fell flat on my face. It was time to do the honey-do list and catch up on things, and sometimes we couldn't even get up to do it. It was just very intense, and I'm grateful for it, and I loved it. But it, because of the way I was wired up, which is in need of healing, I was out of balance. I mean, I just wasn't taking care of my wife and family the way I was supposed to. So I remember coming back, and I remember Karen looking at me saying, "Can't do this anymore." I'm like, "What does that mean?" She said, "We can't do this anymore." And we began to fast and pray, and God released power upon us that helped us to straighten things out, released a strength. I've learned some things over the course of being in ministry, and there's a secret to the strength of God. David at Ziklag, it's not the text, but David's there and he's attacked and he loses his whole family. And the text says there in 1 Samuel that he strengthened himself in the Lord. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to find strength? Do you know how to find an influx of power? Do you know the secret of receiving strength? Because weakness and a sense of inadequacy will come, and we'll all face things that are difficult and challenging. And you might even feel like you'd say, "I can't go on, not one more moment." I spoke to someone today in another state who's very dear to us, who was telling me, he's pretty much at the end. He's at the end of not life, not giving up life, but needing money really bad. I mean, like to buy food, needing breakthrough in certain areas personally, and all kinds of things, and then a weight of responsibility on them that is beyond their ability to handle it. And I told them, "I know what that's like." And they're kind of like, Do you really? "Yeah, I really do. I really do know what it's like when you get to the end of the rope and the rope is fraying and you're at the very end and you have nothing. You have no money, no ability, no wisdom, no strength. You have nothing in your own ability to pull it off. That's an awesome place to be." You're like, I don't like it either, but man, it will produce in you something if you'll let the Word work, if you'll let the Holy Spirit work in you. And I don't know what it is for me. Many times I'll work my fleshly plan, try to fix it in the arm of the flesh. Anybody end up with an Ishmael? That there are keys to God's strength. And if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling like you can't make it, if you're feeling like you're not enough, good. It's awesome. I'm not feeling the love back from you, but by the end, you'll be shouting. Amen. Let's look at the text. The context of this, Apostle Paul is to defend himself from these false apostles. And they're affecting the church in the city of Corinth. You can read about it in earlier chapters. In chapter 12, the Apostle Paul tells of a man who's caught up into the third heaven. Man received a great revelation. And then you're reading the text that we're reading in verse 7, you realize he's talking about himself. But he's kind of saying in an unusual way, kind of like third person. I know a guy that wears a white suit and a black t-shirt. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's me. He's talking about himself, but he's saying in a way that it's veiled and unusual. He has this third heaven experience. What is a third heaven experience? I'm glad you asked. You're in the first heaven. Everybody say first heaven. Okay. Biblical understanding. The first heaven is this. It's earth. It's what you can see with your natural eye. The second heaven, or the heavenlies. Second heaven is called the what? Heavenlies. That's where the war is. Angels and demons. There's a war there in the heavenlies. Come on, somebody say there's a war in the heavenlies. Specifically the second heaven. Then there's the third heaven. There is no war in the third heaven. In fact, there's no tears, there's no weeping, there's no sorrow, there's no death. There is the throne of God. The third heaven is the throne of God. So when he says, "I know a man," we find out verse 7, he's talking about himself. that he was caught up to the third heaven. He went to the throne. He went to heaven. Heaven, like where God's throne is. And it says that he heard this inexpressible, things that cannot be expressed. See, what were they? I don't know. You can't say them. So holy, the idea is so holy that it could not be uttered, can't be shared. You know, some things are like that. And he didn't want to brag about his great revelation. So revelations are wonderful, and everyone needs to have a revelation. A real revelation from God. Let me just tell you how you know you've gotten a real revelation from God. Like when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it's a major revelation. It's a major revelation that it is not religion, it's not tradition, it's not behaving myself. It's receiving the one who died in my place. His name is Jesus. And when my heart was opened up to the reality that Jesus died in my place and I don't have to, and I can be forgiven, I can be washed, I can be cleansed, and then I can have a new life. 2 Corinthians talks about that, 5 and verse 17. If any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. When I realized that, all of a sudden it was a revelation to me that I could be made new, that I was separated from God because of sin, and I made a decision to give my life to Jesus. And when I did, poof, something happened. Revelation will cause poof. Revelation will cause you to change. Real revelation from God changes the way that you are. You can't say you've had an experience with God, but you're still a jerk. It'll change you. Real revelation brings revolution. So he's had these revelations from God. And then verse 7 is a deeply debated verse of scripture, and I'm not going to cover all the debate on it. Verse 7 reads, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan." Wow. A messenger of Satan. So he makes it clear that it's not from God. Some of you in this place have blamed God. It is not God's fault. I recently heard someone say, "I'm just so angry at God for this thing." I thought, what? I go, we need to have some discipleship here. We need to like sit down and discuss why. No, I'm angry that this happened. And blame God. Listen, God is not the one to blame for your pain, for sorrow. God is not the one to blame. He'll turn everything for good. He makes it clear that this messenger, and messenger is an interesting word. It's an angel of Satan. It's a demon. A demon, perhaps. It's a messenger. Messenger, you go do a word study, you got a messenger. This fallen human nature. Paul writes in to the church of Thessalonica, "Satan hindered me." Now, if Satan can hinder, what is hinder? I used to play squash. Does anybody know what squash is? It's like racquetball with a longer racket. And I played at boarding school when I was a boy in high school. And there was all these guys that were really good squash players. And I learned to play a little bit. And I had some racket sport experience. And the best squash player in the whole school was Dr. Theodore Nielsen. Dr. Theodore Nielsen was 6'4", 400 pounds, give or take. Big dude. Real big dude. Anybody ever been in the racquetball court? So he was, you know, 6'4", 400, I don't know, 380. Let's give the, you know, big. And I remember I'm like in junior in high school, and he wants to play, so I'm playing him. I'd gotten quite good at it, and he trounced me. Well, the reason, there's a lot of reasons he was much better, but the other main reason was I had to run a quarter mile to get around him. So the ball's hit, there he is, and you have to run around him, get around him, and then get to the ball. So he would just kind of, he'd just kind of get big like that. And there he would.
I mean, how are you going to get around that? Do you know how big 400 benches is big? And so there was a call in racquetball, as they're called, there's a call in squash, hindrance. And you just call out, hindrance. And so I just kept started calling out. He said, that is not. I'm like, what? You take up half the court. How can anybody get around you? Of course, I was a lot more respectful than that. I said, oh, Dr. Dieland, you were in my way. Oh, I moved out of the way. I'm like, no, that would be impossible. So Satan hindered. He just gets in there. The Apostle Paul just tries to stop him. And he succeeded, according to Thessalonians. Satan hindered. I wanted to come to you again and again, but Satan hindered me. So here we see the Apostle Paul and this spiritual warfare, this messenger of Satan tormenting him. And we don't know exactly what the problem is. There's a lot of speculation on what it could be, but truth is we have no idea. It could be a physical ailment. It could be his eyes. He talked about how he had challenges with his eyes. He talks in Galatians about different things. See, we know in the book of Acts that there was this Alexander, the coppersmith. Hymenaeus, Hymenaeus is another guy that caused him difficulty, but Alexander was the coppersmith that caused him problems. And he saw him as the enemy stopping the move of God. It could be that he's talking about a person, maybe he's talking about a physical ailment. We really have no idea. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. Maybe he's talking about him. Maybe it was something in his own mind. We don't know exactly, but the Apostle Paul is a messenger of Satan tormented them. The Apostle Paul pleaded with the Lord to take it away. He pleaded with the Lord to take it away. And it says he did it three times. I don't know, my picture of the Apostle Paul interceding, pleading is a picture of prayer. My picture of the Apostle Paul pleading is not just this casual, Lord, would you remove this thorn? I don't think it's that. I think it's a broken in half, cry out to God, get up maybe a couple hours later, and maybe that's 3 days in a row. I don't think it's, you know, just this cute little prayer that doesn't have a bunch of power. It's a fervent prayer, I believe. A fervent cry. Set me free from this thing. Deliver me. Deliver me. I think it's this real deep intercession. So he pleaded. That word is very strong, pleaded. A picture of prayer, a picture of travail. And I do believe it's a picture of fasting. And then there's times that God says no. Somebody said, God didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, he did. And yes, he does. God always answers prayer. The answers to prayer are yes, no, wait. Those are the three answers to prayer. And so if you didn't get if you didn't get the answer you want, it doesn't mean he didn't answer you. Standing with somebody in agreement they needed the breakthrough by a couple days ago, well, the breakthrough didn't come in the way that they would have liked it. So it seems that time's gone by and now their desire is not going to happen. Well, could it be? Is it possible that God doesn't want that particular person to do that particular thing right now? Is that possible? Yeah, it is. Well, I just pray general prayer so that God just does whatever he wants. Well, that's not biblical either. You need to press, you need to contend, you fight, you push, you pray, you decree. And then there's times where the Lord's like, yeah, no, wait. Or yes, or he opens up another way. I've seen God do amazing things in ways that I never imagined. In fact, you know what he does? Exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or even think. Come on, God is moving on your behalf. Somebody say amen. Even though you might feel like you're at the end. And Jesus speaks to him, which is like amazing. In fact, I'm going to give a red letter edition. You know, words of Jesus in red.
Look at your Bible. You see your Bible right there? It's in red, right? My grace is sufficient for you. It's the only time. Come on, you ready? Bump your neighbor and say, listen. Linda, listen. It's the only time. Look, there it is. Come on, Mr. Cameraman. Bring it on in, son. Look at that. Come on, close. Oh, we need light. Here we go. Thank you, Brother Wally. There it is, right there, in red. It's the only time the words of Jesus are outside the gospel is right there. You don't see that anywhere. Jesus spoke to him and said, after he pleaded, I believe, three times, my grace is sufficient. It's amazing how when we plead that God will speak to us, my grace is sufficient. When you start doing word studies on what grace is divine power. My divine power is sufficient to raise the dead. How about that? Can I say that? His divine power, grace, charis is the word. It's his divine power. It's talking about the power of God. My power from my throne is sufficient to help you with your thorn. That's what he says. Because we just read it and be like, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. It's talking about resurrection power. It's talking about that which is the strongest power in the world. God, the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. The Apostle Paul understood the principle. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Lots of examples in Scripture. Why are you even teaching this? Because I don't know about you, but lately I've felt like I need a little extra from God. Anybody else feel like that? You need a little extra? I had a prophet send me a voice message over text. And it was really right where I'm at. Longing for more. There are times where you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and you can't take it anymore. You just don't know what to do. Let that turn in you. Let it turn in you to cry out to God and see a release of his power. Because many times people don't. They go back to drugs. They go back to alcohol. Well, guess it didn't work. No. Well, I can't wait any longer. Well, let me know how that works out for you. It's not going to work out good. I've been around a long time, and I've seen people throwing in the towel. 10 years go by, and some of them snap out of it, and others we never see again, so I don't know. But this principle of being weak is God's opportunity to strengthen you if you'll let it turn in you the right way. The secret to supernatural strength. You know what it is? There's a lot of things, but the main point here that God is speaking to us, the main point is you really need him really, really bad. Every minute of every day, your heart is beating within your chest because he's allowed it to. He's giving you breath right now. He's so patient and kind. There is a release of God's power that'll come if you'll see it and believe it. And there's lots of examples in this principle in Scripture. Moses in Exodus chapter 3, a fugitive shepherd with a stutter, a murderer, fugitive shepherd, and that's not a good thing in the Old Testament, not considered good, first century especially, but a stutterer, couldn't talk well, and he's selected by God to be the deliverer. How many of you know he felt weak? I mean, he's just like, can you send somebody else? Oh, God, what am I gonna tell him? Who am I gonna say sent me? Pick Aaron, he can talk. He's weak. He feels inadequate. He feels like he doesn't have it. And Moses becomes the most humble man on the earth, which is hysterical because he wrote those words in Deuteronomy. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 7, King Saul, listen to this. The prophet, 1 Samuel 15:17, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you over Israel? He's rebuking him because Saul has gotten over into pride. He's gotten full of himself. He got wealthy. He got success. He crossed over into a place where he was not little. He thought he was just all that, bag of chips and 3 cups of pomegranate juice. Gideon, Judges 6:7, he says what? I'm the least in my father's house. He's the least. He tries to talk the angel out of it. He says, but family's like the insignificant. I'm an insignificant, very insignificant tribe. And bro, I'm the least in my family. You picked the wrong guy. And he's there and he's threshing wheat behind the wine press. But God saw him by the definition of his heart. He heard his prayer. He saw that God, listen, God can take someone weak and seemingly unqualified. And if that person turns their heart towards God, he can release his power through him. If you can stay humble, broken, and transparent, God will use you all of your life. That is something Dr. Morocco said to me long ago. In fact, he said it so many times. I would hear it in my sleep. I come to the front for prayer, and he said, Daniel, listen to me. I'm like, okay. In my 20s, and he said, if you stay humble, broken, and transparent, God will always use you, Daniel. And it just somehow, it was like God's finger burned it into my heart. That phrase I endeavor to live my life by, humble, broken, transparent. Gideon was broken before God, and he was the least, and he was chosen. He was weak. So if you feel weak and ugly, welcome to the club. God will use you. And if you feel like you're all that, well, you might just sit on the back burner until you get some weakness going on. We all need God. Everyone needs God's help. Gideon, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, Judah surrounded, the king confessed, we have no power. So here they're facing this army. We have no power. No power, but our eyes are on you, says the king. Good, good response. Good response. The life of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Then make your kids memorize that, and it'd be good for you to memorize it too. Let's all say it. As long as I seek the Lord, God will give me success. Say it. As long as I seek the Lord, God will give me success. As long as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will add all things. The moment you step back, figure it out, think you got some money, and think you got some talent, think you got some treasure, think you have some supernatural favor apart from God, and you will find yourself on a deep, dark pit separated from God, because pride comes before a fall, but he gives grace, he gives power to the humble. And so the secret to supernatural power is an abiding, it's a brokenness before God like these men, like David is another one. 1 Samuel 17, teenage shepherd with a sling. Totally impossible to take out the trained from his youth, Goliath. Yeah, impossible in the natural, but not with God. God's speaking to us, the key to supernatural strength. The key to supernatural strength. And humbling ourselves. Got to humble ourselves. Humbling ourselves positions us for God's power to flow through us. That's very different than the language I hear at times from some. God's power flows through the evangelist and through the prophet and through the speaker and the pastor and through you and through me. God flows through us. But we must be ever mindful that he is the one that flows through us and we are not the one. And somehow there's a pride that creeps in that says, well, I've stood on his word and I've prayed and I've fasted and I. Just way too many I's in there. Even though the principle of fasting is true, even though the principle of praying is true, even though standing on the word is true, there comes this place. Even Paul says, and God had mercy on us and he healed him. The apostle Paul said God had mercy, so they didn't add sorrow upon sorrow when he healed that precious brother there in the New Testament. Weakness empties us of self-reliance. Oh my gosh, write that somewhere. Alaskans are known for being self-reliant. And it can be a great thing when it's redeemed. Unredeemed, it is pride-filled. We need to be emptied of self-reliance and be interdependent on God. Weakness magnifies God's sufficiency, Psalm 73. And really positions us, weakness, not weakness, sorrow, and hopelessness. No, weakness in God. When you understand and in and of yourself, you can't even cause your heart to beat within your chest. Where are you going to get your air from? Where are you actually getting it from? God, he's the merciful, kind, and gracious one. So there has to be a dependence on God. A dependence on him. God's giving us a message of hope here. God's giving us a message of hope. Don't despair, even in the darkest of times. Even when you're at your end, and you might even be the blame, the reason for it. Did anybody do some things that you wish you could take back? Okay, well, God can turn it around. Don't despair in your most difficult times. God is close to the brokenhearted. A broken and contrite heart, he will not spurn. He will release his strength through you. That's what God's doing in your life, Karen. How else could you stand on a platform and worship God with all your heart, having your son just gone to heaven but a few days ago? How else could you do that? God, he's with you. He's with you. You're with him. Lord, touch the Hansen family, touch Brian. There's unthinkable things that happen. Death comes to all of us. No matter what you're going through, always remember that God will give you grace, will give you divine power in the midst of your weakness. If you're feeling weak, it's a setup for God to show up and move in power. And I do believe that God will give you a revelation of his power in the midst of it. Revelation of his power. Yeah, I don't like trials. I don't know anybody that does. Well, apparently Paul does. He's like, yeah, bring it on. That's what he said. He's like, yes. Come on, look with me at these last verses. When I was studying, I didn't even catch it. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly by my weakness, so Christ's power may rest in me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight. I delight in weakness. What? I don't think we have that view. That's the view that releases God's power. Now, he got through it. He wrote most of the New Testament, and God used him amazingly to write the word of God, revelation to us. If you're feeling like you don't know which way out, what an opportunity for God to show up and give you a strategy and give you a plan. I delight in weakness, in insults. Next time you're insulted, I'm being convicted right now.
Next time you're insulted, just be like, yeah.
Say some more. Curse at me some more. Come on. Why? I mean, he's talking about God's power comes weakness and insults and hardships. Anybody going through some hardship? Rejoice. I don't feel like it. I know. I understand.
I understand that, but it has nothing to do with feelings. And if you live according to your feelings, you'll be subject to them the rest of your life and you'll live in bondage. That is not what we're supposed to be subject to. We're supposed to be subject to God's word, God's spirit, God's kingdom. Feelings come and go. Are they important? They're indicators. The word of God, you live your life based on the word, not on what you feel like. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Years ago, if I could, can I have keys? Years ago, I was witnessing. I was going door to door. And I was in a town called Kahului, Hawaii. And I was by myself, a part of this team that was knocking on doors and sharing the love of God with people throughout the neighborhood. So I got to this one house and I knock on the door. The man opens the door, nearly rips the hinges off. And he's like, shut up. I'm like, bro. Now, mind you, I wasn't exactly sanctified 100% right there that time in my life. I had some very deep emotions that were causing me to make fists. I'm like, I just want to tell you about the love of, shut up, shut the bull up, get off my porch. I'm like, I want to tell you about, and he opens the door and spits in my eye. Can I just tell you, I wanted to work him like a $3 bill. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wanted to yank him through a knothole. And I had all these emotions of anger and rejection. And my immediate response is like, let me send him to heaven. Which I didn't, and I felt like it. And so I cursed him with Christian curses. Which is really in my heart, I wanted to say something else. But what I said is, hey, you know what? God bless you, bro. God bless you. Huh? Bless you, man. Yo, God bless you. And I walked off. That was me just... I walk out of the property. I've told this story before. Some of you heard it, but I walk off out of that driveway. I'm supposed to go to the next house, but I don't because I'm so upset. And I'm walking and I begin to weep because of it hit a place of rejection in me that was so big. I'm weeping. I'm like, God. And the scripture comes to mind. We were memorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as a part of our discipleship back then. It's a Sermon on the Mount. And I had been working on it, and what comes right to my heart is, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled. You know, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted your forefathers before you. And I'm thinking, and I hear it again, rejoice, be exceedingly glad. Same scripture again, and I'm like, praise the Lord. Well, I was mocking. Oh, I know, you all are perfect. I was like, praise your name. It was not a wholehearted praise you. It was a 20% nod at the fact that he spoke to me through scripture. How rude. Where's the fear of God in that? I don't know. What's your problem? I'm just telling you, this is a story for me from years ago. So I did a little better, and I wasn't full-hearted, but I said, thank you. But I meant it. I was just trying to obey the word.
I didn't feel it. I meant it, though. I said, thank you. And I felt this. I thought, I'm walking, and I felt the anointing. I felt the power of God come on me. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I said, hey, God, thank you. And it really came from my heart. 100% thank you that idiot spit on me. Oh, sorry. That uncircumcised Philistine spit on me because I was serving you and telling you about the Lord. I'm going to rejoice. And it was like the fire of the Spirit of God fell on me. And before you know it, I was like, look what the Lord has done. Yeah, look what the Lord. Oh, come on. You've got to learn the secret of releasing supernatural strength. It's not happening the way that it happens in your mind.
Thanks.
You gotta stay dependent on him. You gotta be dependent on him. You gotta cry out when you're weak. You gotta call on his name. Call on his name. Call on his name. Yes. Come on, Minister Toby.
Senior.
Lift your hands to heaven. I thought we were like Mount Zion Baptist Church there for a second. How many of you going through something?
Missed.
Let it turn in you. Let it turn you to a greater dependence. Let it turn you to release his power, his strength. God's hands on you, son. Go prophesy over you. Hi. Tell me your name.
Oh.
Nice to meet you, Pastor Daniel. Is this family here?
Oh, yeah.
Bless you, Lindsay. There is going to come a shift now. You have come to the shores of your faith in a way that it's profound. You've always believed in God. You're raised that way, in fear of the Lord. But things have shifted, and you're finding an intimacy with God that you've never known. That is going to grow and grow. There's great leadership on the inside of you. You've been a leader your whole life. People always look to you. You're strong. You're a defender of the innocent. You're someone who loves justice because things were happened to you that were unjust. You're a defender of those that are weaker. The Lord says, I'm putting some things in your arena that you're going to help people with, but don't shoulder it yourself. I'm teaching you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. And I'm going to cause great strength to come to you. And I'm going to visit you in the night, even in dreams. You're one who's had dreams. There's a supernatural quality about your life. Made you strong physically, but you're going to be strong spiritually and in a greater way than you've ever known before. And I hear the Lord saying this is what originally I heard on my way over here, which is I'm going to cause the enemy to hear a report and it's going to go back another way. And the fight that you're in is not your own. It's mine, says God. And if you'll step off, let go of it. I mean, you're a fighter. You're a scrapper. You don't know how to quit. There's no quit in you. But if you'll yield and die to that part of it, and put that towards God, he's going to take up your case, take up your cause. And he's going to change everything. And it won't be because you're strong and a fighter and all that. It'll be because you yielded to him and called on his name. I see a release of angelic help. I see a release of God's power. I see God touching you. And I see him.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Raise your hand one more time if you're going through a hard time. Start saying thank you. Start saying thank you for what you're... He didn't do it. I mean, you have to discern. Some of the hard times I went through so that I would learn not to be, you know, dumb. I went through some hard times financially in the past. I was a poor steward. Had to get healed. Had to break poverty off. So you're going through a financial challenge and you've been swiping your card like crazy. Hello? You got to be a good steward. You can blame the devil all you want to. You're the one that did it. He's trying to heal your soul. That'll never heal your soul. Jesus heals your soul and you stop swiping. Start living within your means. Start tithing. All of those things. So don't blame the devil for everything. Because some of it's your own brokenness and mindsets. But I guess ultimately he could be blamed. I think we could blame him for everything. But you understand, you have to take responsibility too. Lift your hands to heaven. Don't shirk your responsibility in the midst of your hardship. What is your... What happened? Learn. Stop doing the things that hurt you. Learn to live a new life. Get healed. Get set free. All right. God's going to turn things around just like I prophesied over that precious man. He's going to turn it around for you. He's going to release strength to you right now. You begin to thank God for your challenge. In the midst of it, in the midst of the trial, you thank God. Thank you that you've trusted me with this. Come on, begin to thank him. I rejoice that I'm being persecuted. I rejoice that I'm suffering. I rejoice in the hardship, Lord. And through it, you're going to be magnified. Through it, your grace is going to be released. Through it, your power is going to be poured out. Come on, talk to God all across this place. It's a key. Or you can wallow and let the devil beat your brains in and wonder what happened. Or, shift. Don't wallow. Shift your thinking. Shift your thinking.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.